The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
The second half of the program is live. We thank you for being a part of it. And let's check in with Pat, who is up next in Georgia. Pat, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul, and thank you. And congratulations on your contract extension. I have been belated in expressing that, but congratulations.
Thank you very,
nobody
very much.
Nobody does it better. Nobody does it better. I may need some help with this, Paul. I think there are only four teams who have ever left the SEC. Georgia Tech, Tulane, Swanee, and I think Arkansas. Is that correct?
The first three, I know you are correct, because I didn't realize this until the other night, that Tulane had been in the SEC as recently as the mid-60s. Now, Arkansas, I do, you know, again, there was an early iteration of this league, as Commissioner Kramer said, and I just can't remember who everyone was, but at least in the modern era, or semi-modern, last 80 or 90 years, I think you are correct.
Well, thanks for the help. And by the way, Roy Kramer's interview, I really did enjoy it, and thank you for having him on. He brought back a whole bunch of really good memories. I'm trying to think, not that Texas and Oklahoma need help recruiting, but what do they tell prospects? Come play football for us while we wait to join the SEC in two or three years?
Well, no, it's a conundrum, and that's why I don't think this will drag on very long. Right now, the key, if you're a fan of getting Texas and Oklahoma into the SEC, you want the Big 12 to do one of two things. Primarily, you want it to implode, because I think the quicker we get rid of the Big 12, now, you know, could the Big 12 merge with someone else? And that could make it easier as well. I don't think what Bowlesby said last week had anything to do with anger and leverage. He was angry. He blew off a lot of steam, which was not a good look, but that's not my problem. But more than anything, he's trying to position himself to leverage his league with ESPN.
Well, I've slowly come to the conclusion that the Big 12 is going to go the way of the Big East, and that's unfortunate. They may end up in the AEC, but whatever. One more observation, and it has to do with change, and it has to do with the general reluctance of human beings to change. Based upon what I know about your career, I think several times in your career you have decided to embrace change and make the best of it. And now you're on television and radio and you have a brand new contract. Well, what's left over in the Big 12 and what's going on in the Pac-12, maybe they need to embrace change. I figured that out early in life. Most people don't want to change, and if I raised my hand and said I'm willing to go along with it and make the best of it, I did better than most. What do you think?
Pat, I agree. And quite frankly, the Big 12 was not setting the woods on fire anyway. It was already in a very depressed state. And it has to do something dramatic. And I don't know if they're well positioned to, because it's really not very attractive without Texas and Oklahoma. And that point has been made many, many times, but there's no bell cow right now. And every league needs an anchor. If you're opening up a shopping mall, which quite frankly, nobody is any longer. What were the keys to a shopping mall in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s? To have anchor stores, and what I mean by that, big stores, whether it's Sears or Dillard's or Macy's or Saks Fifth Avenue. Now, the Big 12 has nobody right now. I mean, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, Baylor. Baylor may have just won the championship in basketball, but in football, they do not carry enough weight.
Absolutely. And by the way, you left out Riches in Atlanta.
Well, you're right. No, I used to really, Riches used to be my favorite store when it branched out into where I lived. And I was in a mall the other day, Pat, not that I'm a critic of today's retail, but I don't think this mall had an anchor store.
Well, yes. One more thing. I've heard talk about some sort of alliance between the ACC and the SEC. And have you heard anything? And why in the world would the SEC want any kind of alliance with the ACC?
I have no idea why they would. So I don't think they will. Hey, thanks so much for the call. It's so good to have you on. Michael in New Jersey is up next. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I must say, being up in the Northeast, you were a taste that was acquired. And the more I've listened to you, the more I like what you have to say.
Thank you very much.
I really appreciate being able to listen to you. So a few things you said, I give you a 99, but a few things you said, I have some differences with.
Sure,
so I'll just
ahead.
Rattle them off quickly, and then your comments I would love to hear. So one, when you said Nick Saban is the CEO, et cetera, please stop. He runs a division of a larger entity. When he becomes president of the university, I agree with you 100%. But right now, he's running a division. He's doing it very well. Again, compliments beyond belief, but let's not get crazy. Now, that leads me to my second point, which is I think the SEC has to be careful to not get too full of itself. And what do I mean by that? Where you touched on Vanderbilt. I just want to point out, and you probably know this as well, let's pick the intellectual tops of three of the major conferences, the Pac-12, the Big 10, which is now the Big 14, and the SEC. The places that have the stadiums that are the least desirable are Stanford, Northwestern, and Vanderbilt. Isn't that interesting?
It is. I wonder
right?
why.
Because football is not exactly the priority that it is in other places. And I get that. You know what? Everyone has to decide where their priorities are. But as someone pointed out, Vanderbilt has a number one baseball team. Vanderbilt's had a pretty darn good basketball team over the years that's been incredibly competitive.
Yes.
Which, when you look at other schools, even in the SEC, like an Ole Miss, like even a Mississippi State, you know, and there are other places as well. You know what? Go out to the Pac-12 and look at Oregon State. Yeah, this year they made a run in basketball, but in any normal year they haven't. But I just think every conference has exactly what you're talking about, but yet there's other value to who they are. And the last point I'll make is, let me look no further than my own backyard and tell you Rutgers. They had no business joining the Big Ten, and they joined right after Schiano left. And the only reason why they're quasi-competitive right now is because they paid him almost Nick Saban money now to come back and resurrect the program, and they were a 500 team last year. But does anyone go to their games? I mean, you know, you talk about attendance. Look no further than the Miami Marlins in baseball or the Tampa Devil Rays. There's always more of the visiting team who are there, or whenever the Pittsburgh Steelers play a losing team in the NFL, they travel well. So I just think the SEC just has to, and you have to be careful about how much you pick on a school like a Vanderbilt when this goes on everywhere, and this is not the exception. That's it. But otherwise, love your show, and I appreciate you taking my call.
Michael, thank you. That was a fascinating call. It really was, and I deeply appreciate it. Let's take a break. We have Ivan coming up in a minute, 855-242-7285, maybe a surprise a little bit later on. Gene Stallings in the final hour, and we are coming back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back, and a lot happening out in Texas right now. We've heard Bowlesby testifying, and now Mack Rhodes is speaking. He's the Baylor AD, former Missouri AD. Many of my colleagues around the country believe that the University of Texas created this situation because they think so highly of themselves. My humble opinion, I completely disagree. I think it's because they feel too little of themselves. Wow. Okay, well, our next guest has a few opinions on his new website. Seismic changes mean college football entering new era. Ivan Maisel, formerly of ESPN, covered the last go-around 10 years ago. And we're so grateful that you are with us today. Ivan, first of all, how are you? And welcome back to the program.
Thanks. I also covered the two realignments before that one 10 years ago. So this one's a little different.
Well, you covered the birth of the SEC back in 1903, didn't you?
You and I were sitting outside.
I've had that line used on me before. I just thought I'd try it on somebody else, Ivan.
I do go back to Penn State going to the Big Ten, but not before that.
Yeah, you know, this is so interesting because the summer of 10 and 11 were, I thought, among the craziest things we've ever seen, because it was an endless stream of speculation. It really wasn't this time. All of a sudden, we all looked down at our phones one afternoon, and this deal was done. I'm curious, with your many contacts around college athletics, how are they able to keep this away from literally everyone else, including apparently Bob Bowlesby, who said today he didn't know about it until the story came out?
Well, it's a single transaction. Two schools approached one conference. So in that sense, the keeping it secret part, and from what I understand, it was done at the very few people below the AD on the org chart knew, and that it was much more of a regent / presidential move, chiefly the engine being the chair of the board of regents at UT. So that part didn't surprise me.
Well, Ivan, let's talk about what it means, not so much to the SEC, because I think that's self-explanatory and self-evident, but what does it mean to college athletics in general, especially college football?
Well, I think, we just take for granted that there are going to be 130 teams that we have to pay attention to, and there's no rule that says that. And if you think about every other big league or conference or sport that we pay attention to, none are bigger than 32 teams, give or take. And it may just be that that pie in the sky super conference concept that we've all talked about for years is now coming to fruition. I had an AD say to me today that, look, we don't have anything in common with New Mexico State, and we haven't for a long time. And, I think what we're seeing is the beginning of a winnowing out and getting down to who knows how many schools, but, no more than 50 or 60.
And probably not even that many. Ivan,
yeah.
If you're looking around college athletics right now, and I thought we would see something. The story is now 11, 12 days old. Let's start with the Big Ten. That's the biggest conference out there. What are their moves, and what do you think they'll do?
Well, who's out there that's going to bring them money? This is all strictly a financial deal. That was the motivation of Texas and OU. was financial stability. It was the motivation of Nebraska going to the Big Ten. Who out there is going to help the Big Ten's bottom line? And, you know, and also meets their other criteria, which is you got to be a member of the Association of American Universities, which is the, you know, high class academic level certification. You know, the only people in the Big 12, I think, that they might even look at are Kansas and Iowa State, because they're both in the AAU. There may be a couple others in the Big 12. I don't know, but, you know, KU is dead football-wise, and Iowa State brings them nothing in terms of additional viewers. It's just another mouth.
Oh, come on. Hey, I mean, there are at least 150 people in Iowa, aren't there?
But they, you know, they got the Hawkeyes. You know, they don't need the.
You're right.
They don't need the Cyclones.
No, they
I
sure
mean,
don't.
That's my point.
They've got the big metropolis is covered. And you know, Kansas is. I mean, let's not even waste time on Kansas. So they're done there. And the idea that they're going to go steal someone, I don't think is very likely, is it?
I don't think so. You know, when they took Maryland and Rutgers, Delaney made a very strong push for Georgia Tech to try to, you know, backdoor his way into the SEC footprint, which was such a Delaney move, you know, such an aggressive move. And Georgia Tech said no. And, you know, now everybody, you know, the other thing you got to think about is everybody has signed away their TV rights for a very long time. So, you know, to purposely make it harder to leave. So, I think the Big Ten, and the Big Ten's fine. The Big Ten's in good shape. They don't have to do anything.
What about the ACC?
The ACC's in okay shape. Again, everybody has signed their rights to the ACC. Their TV contract is good. It's not great. But, you know, they're okay. I mean, they're going to be, they're falling behind, as everybody is, the SEC in terms of television money. The Big Ten is coming up next. And, and with CBS suddenly needing content, I'm sure Big Ten is going to have, you know, quite a nice little bidding war for their content. So the Big Ten will be fine. You know, Lord knows what happens to the Pac. I can't answer a single thing about the Pac-12. You know,
I did want to ask you. They have a new commissioner who certainly is not shy. I'll put it that way.
No.
I mean, they were already like about to fall off the face of the earth, Ivan. And so, what happens now?
I don't know. You know, Paul, they're 10 years behind, and. They made a big gamble. You know, Larry Scott made a big gamble on having his own network. It didn't work out, and he was not a very good administrator to make up for the shortfall that he created. He didn't, you know, he didn't shore it up in any other way. So, they're behind. Is somebody going to go out there and get some of their schools? That's a long way away. You know, I don't know how you do that, you know, because the money it would take for all the other sports to go out there and play and two time zones. I mean, I think the Pac-12 is just by itself and will have time to figure out their deal, you know, and try to get it right again. But They're behind. You know, right now we've gone from the Power Five to the Power Two, really, in my mind, the SEC and the Big Ten.
So what effect does all of this have on what was supposed to be the big story of the summer, and that's the expansion? And now everyone is blaming Greg Sankey, the guy who needs the expansion to 12 the least. And he was here the other night, as many know, and he seems perfectly fine. But Gene Smith from Ohio State saying let's put a pause on it. Can you give us your best guess on what's going on, other than a bunch of rhetoric, with the CFP right now?
Well, I think there's got to be a pause, and back strictly in contract terms, nothing was going to happen for 4 years anyway. Or 5 years, you know, there's five more years in the contract. So nothing's going to happen before that unless, you know, they chose to break the deal with ESPN. So there's no hurry, and everything is in such a state of flux right now. I think they're all going to sort of take a breath and try to figure out the big part, which is, you know, who are our conferences, and then they'll worry about what they're going to do with them in the postseason. And, you know, one other thing about Sankey, Paul, you can blame him all you want, but find another commissioner that would have said, you know, no, yeah, said to Texas and OU, no, we're not doing that. Yeah. Thanks for asking. We don't want you. Yeah. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's one reason why Bowlesby, to his credit, has not at least publicly gone after Sankey. He just chose to do that with ESPN. I ask you a question. You worked, kind of a funny question, but you worked at ESPN for a long time. You know most of the people. Do you think what Bowlesby said had any merit, that ESPN was, you know, the wizard behind the curtain here, pulling all these strings?
Oh, I have no idea. You know, I have to assume that he's not making it up out of whole cloth, you know, that he thinks he knows something. You know, that's why we have a civil litigation.
Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that's going to all come out in somebody's wash. But you know, I don't know. I haven't, you know, I don't know what he knows or what he thinks he knows, but, yeah, I mean, this was, I was pleased to see that there was some recognition that, you know, what that tells me, Paul, is that Texas and OU went to the SEC and said, you know, would you like us? And the SEC said yes. You know, the SEC didn't go to Texas and OU and say, come see, you know, come in. And nobody has said that they did, but, the, you know, it just looks like, it just makes a lot of sense that that's the way it unfolded.
And to your further point as we wrap up, and if Greg Sankey had said, no, we're not interested, there would have been a few more calls made, and we all know that. And if you're the SEC, you're thinking, yeah, we like them, but we certainly like them a lot more than seeing them in the Big Ten or in the ACC.
Yeah, no, it's a great move for the SEC, but the SEC didn't need them and didn't have to have them. And but, you know, they've built a great product, and Texas and OU wanted in and had the stature to make it, you know, to make it appealing to the SEC.
Well, Ivan, it's good to have you on. Congratulations with your new endeavor. I mentioned that not only are you an editor, you're the vice president. So,
yes, what a title, huh?
So, do I need to send you a resume, or do you have an assistant that I do that with?
Yeah, our same arrangement as always, Paul. You know,
well, I used to write. I know it's long past even your memory, but I remember. I will get my clips and resume. I'll be down at the Kinko's FedEx office tonight, and you'll have it in the mail by Friday.
I look forward to reading it.
Thank you very much, Ivan Maisel, great friend for many, many years. And that's the way we used to do it back in the salad days of the newspaper industry. Ivan didn't need to worry about that. I did. Let's take a break. More to come when we return. Gene Stallings in 30 minutes right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome back. Great to have you here. Gene Stallings joining us in about 25 minutes. The legendary former Alabama and A&M coach. His first thoughts, to us at least, on OU in Texas. Mike is up next in Florida. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Paul. This is Mike. I'm a first-time caller. I wanted to share with you a viewpoint that I haven't heard over the last several weeks on why the college athletics appears to be in disarray.
Sure.
I don't think it's just the recent changes in the rules or the reorganization. I think it's a much bigger problem than that. What I think is that the NCAA hasn't really defined who their customers are, what products and what are the product attributes that these customers want. I think until they do that, they're always going to seem to be in disarray and will be hit and miss. When I speak of customers, I'm trying to think of like university presidents and boards of trustees, or is it the public, or is it student athletes or others? You know, once they define that, then they can define, you know, what are the products we're trying to provide them and for the student athletes. Do they want profitable athletic competitions? Do they want graduated student athletes? Do they want student athletes that play professionally? Do they want wealthy student athletes? Do they want public involvement of students? Do they want compliant students? All those things are measurable and could be well defined if they determine who the customers are. In terms of product attributes that they could define, do they want like a 90% graduation rate? Do they want like 30 million people viewing NCAA tournaments? You know, all those things should involve ESPN and the stakeholders when they go through that product and process. I've done that on a large scale and been pretty successful using that approach.
Mike, you've laid it out very well. There's only one issue I have with what you've said. And you're thinking about this in present tense. I don't think the NCAA has a present, and they certainly don't have a future. So, I can't tell you how many times we've spoken recently with major leaders in this field, and not one of them have confidence in the NCAA president. The only person who has confidence in him, apparently, is the board of directors who just gave him a contract extension, and the theory is the only reason they did that was to leave him there as opposed to bringing someone else new who may actually try to change things. So I think you're right, and that's why you see the conferences doing what they're doing, especially the SEC.
But I think the Constitutional Convention, just the concept of it in itself, would be an outstanding place to go back to the basics in terms of college football, where we start and where are we going, and define those things that I talked to you about.
But, Mike, what's going to happen there is I think what's already happening, it's just simply going to be confirmed that the power has left that body. Now, that's somewhat different than the original Constitutional Convention, as I'm sure you remember. Hey, thank you very much. You laid it out quite well, and we appreciate that. Let's check in with Mitchell, who is up next. Mitchell, go right ahead.
Hey, this is Mitchell.
Hey there.
I'm wanting to talk about I think Texas was the real rivalry between Arkansas and them.
So you think going back, the Texas-Arkansas rivalry was the standout rivalry, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you may be right. I remember it that way, but we're now talking about ancient history in terms of the present day. And
yeah.
But even then, the Oklahoma – but see, you know, back then, Oklahoma had other rivals as well, like Nebraska. That was –
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, but things change over time. But I would say if you looked at the current construct of college football, the Oklahoma-Nebraska, the Oklahoma-Texas rivalry is in the top five in anyone's list.
Oh, yeah. And plus, since Texas and Oklahoma come into the Southeast Conference, makes it good for us.
Yeah, it does. Well, listen, thank you very much, Mitchell, for calling from Oregon. We appreciate it, and well said. Kyle is up next in Oklahoma. Hello, Kyle.
Hey, how you doing?
We are doing
great.
I've
got a couple questions for you.
Sure.
One, Oklahoma and Texas coming into the SEC, are they going to get the shell shot that West Virginia got when they came to the Big 12 from the Big East? And now that college football is growing, why do they not have a Power 5 national championship for the big schools and a Division 1 national championship? Well, instead of just trying to add more and more teams.
Yeah, if you remember, the Group of Five fought so hard to get a seat at the table a couple of years ago, and they finally got that New Year's Day bowl game that includes them. Now, that, you know, that's going to change a little bit in this new concept. So, you know, we're getting to a point where you're right. 4 or 5 years from now, as Ivan Maisel said, there aren't going to be more than 25 to 40 schools that are even legitimate. And by the way, that very well may include a number of schools even in these big leagues like the SEC. We'll take a break. We have Coach Stallings coming up here, top of the hour. Can't wait to hear what he has to say. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We are back, and John is up next in St. Louis. Hello, John. Good afternoon to you.
Paul, I'm surprised you picked up on this call real quick, but I tell you what, everybody's been calling into the show the last, I guess, week and a half or a couple of weeks talking about change management issues, and I think the show needs to have a change management situation around your music. And I can give you some specifics. The SEC has a tradition of swamp rock, and you know, we need to have the original swamp rocker on here, and I'm talking about our man John Fogerty. Let's have John Fogerty on the show. Let's let him offer.
Come on, I ain't no senator's son.
Yeah, I understand that, young man, but I'm telling you what. You know, he could shake it up here, bud. You know what I mean?
You're talking about one of the giants of all time.
Yes, sir.
A lot of people have asked a question about the lead into the song. Now, I am sure we are working on an update, but until this is all official, we can't start promoting Big 12 schools on this show.
Yeah, I understand that, but I tell you what, I think it would be at least
complimentary. Well, I'll tell you what, if you know somebody that has an in with John Fogerty, feel free to be our representative.
All right. Okay, Paul. Thank you.
Okay. I have met a few people in my career, but no one quite in the royalty level of John Fogerty. But you're right. I mean, he would fit in here well. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Roy in Miami. Hello, Roy.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Just want to switch up a little bit, talking about the big Miami-Alabama game. Being from down here, you know, we have Derek King coming back. We have a good line, a lot of people coming back. And sometimes I hear like, Alabama's going to kill you guys by about 21 points. I really think both teams, well, you know, Alabama's great. And I think this year Miami's really good. I think we're having two good squads. And I just want to know your thoughts about the game. How do you think it's going to go? The factors on who's going to win.
Yeah, you know? I must say I haven't really given it a lot of hard thought yet. But I do think this. I think Miami is better than people think. I remember, was it 2 years ago, I had the same thoughts in Florida beat them down in Orlando, but this is a different Miami team. And I think to use a cliche that will be used ad nauseum in the next 4 weeks, if you're going to take a shot at Alabama, this is the moment, because you know they're not going to be seasoned under Bryce Young. They have tremendous replacements that they have to deal with. So I think it will be an interesting game. I mean, the betting line is pretty broad right now, but I look for a competitive game.
All right, Paul. Thank you for taking the call.
Thank you, and look forward to hearing more from you. Drew is up next. Hey, Drew, go right ahead.
Hey, Mr. Paul, I was just calling out. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
And the guy just talked about CCR. Yeah, that's a good idea. I like that idea. Yeah, I just pulled up a couple stats. I was telling, you know, we're talking about Texas and talking about Vandy. And of all the SEC schools in the history of Texas playing the SEC schools, I found South Carolina is a 1-0 record. They've never lost to Texas. They only played one time. And also, yeah, one time, yeah. And the team that owns, and I'll say it again, owns Vandy, I mean owns Texas, is the Vanderbilt Commodores, Paul.
What's the record?
8-3 all-time. 8-3 all time against Texas with 5 shutouts. Everyone scored 18 points in 11 games.
I know it's better. I know Alabama does not have a winning record against Texas.
They've only been one time. That was National Championship game. And also, you know, Kansas beat Texas recently.
I think Charlie Strong lost to Kansas, which helped expedite his departure. Hey, thank you for the call. Scotty is in Georgia, and you're on the air. Hello, Scotty.
Hey, Paul, good afternoon.
Thank you.
I'm kind of an OCD person and would really like to see some symmetry with maybe the top 64 teams broken down into four divisions, roughly geographical.
Yeah, I mean, I understand where you're coming from. I think it's highly unlikely, though. What's that have to do with OCD?
Well, I mean, it's just, it's so unbalanced now. Everything, like the SEC is now looking at 16, and this league has 8, and this team has 6. And on a related subject, the Vandys of the world are probably looking over their shoulder, aren't they?
Well, I don't think they're the only ones. I mean, Vanderbilt was already looking over their shoulder. I am equally concerned about the middle to lower divisions of within the SEC, because these schools were struggling as it was, and you know, you've got one blue chip in Oklahoma that's already coming in that will make your life miserable. And I think by the time Texas gets here, whether it's in 2 years or 4, they will be a significantly better product than they are now. We'll find out what a man who has coached in that state and lived in that state a long time, because he's from there. Gene Stallings will join us in a few minutes, the legendary coach at the University of Alabama and Texas A&M, longtime assistant at the Cowboys. He joins us next.